Open your Bibles, please, to Psalms 91, Book of Psalms, the 91st Psalm, and we'll be reading the first 8 verses responsively. Page 644 in your Schofield Reference Bible, Psalm 91, the first 8 verses. And shall we please stand, everyone standing, for the reading of God's Word. Notice especially the first verse, which is the text verse. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge, my fortress, my God. In him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold, and see the reward of the wicked. And let's pray.
The Bible does not say that it's a sin to hold hands. I find no place in the Bible that says that it's a sin for two Hiles Anderson College students to hold hands. Don't get me wrong. We're not going to change. We will not have legal hand-holding at Hiles Anderson College unless you can show us a license. The Bible, however, does not say that it's wrong or sinful for a young man and young lady to hold hands. The Bible does not say that it's wrong to have your hair not tapered when you cut it. The Bible doesn't say it's wrong to have your ears covered a little bit by your hair. Bible doesn't say it's wrong for a girl and a boy to be alone in a car. Bible doesn't say it's wrong to say, we had a blast, or you're a square, or that's cool, man, cool, or that's neat. Then, if that's the case, why do I make such an issue about these things? You see, I do not believe that young people ought to hold hands. I do not believe that a young man ought to have his hair cut unless it's tapered. I think it'll be tapered. I think that the sideburns shouldn't be down to your jawbone. Turn me down about that much, would you please? I think that your hair, your whole ear, should stick out of your hair. I do not think that a girl and a boy ought to be alone in a car. But to save my life, if I had to prove with the Bible that those things are wrong, I don't think I could do it. Then, if that's the case, why, Brother Hiles, do you make such an issue? Listen carefully. He that dwelleth in the... Turn me down, please, about that much. It's a little louder than usual, I think. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Listen. When the Israelites would stop and pitch their tent, right in the middle of those tents, those 2 or 3 or 4 million Israelites, right in the middle was a tent known as the tabernacle. And over that tabernacle, there rested a pillar of cloud in the daytime. And under that cloud, there was a shadow. And in the center of all of the people of Israel, well, their leader, Moses. So here you have this tabernacle and Moses' tent also right in the middle of all the tribes that are spread around. Let's suppose this auditorium tonight were a complete circle and this crowd went all around like that and I was standing right in the middle. Then I would be in the center of the audience. Just as that would be the case, even so did Moses live in the center of the tribes of Israel, and the tabernacle was in the center. Which means that cloud was over the tabernacle, or the cloud was in the center. And Moses said, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High," he was talking about the middle of all of the tents of the tribe. "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." Now, why did Moses live in the center? Because Moses was the leader. And God wanted Moses to be the least vulnerable in case of an attack. God wanted Moses the most protected. And so Moses was right in the center. If the enemy got to Moses from any direction, they had to come by one line of tents and another line of tents and another line of tents and another line of tents, and right in the middle was Moses. So if the enemy got by one line of defense, Moses was still safe. And the enemy got by a second line of defense, Moses was still safe. They had to go past line after line after line to get to Moses. "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High, under the shadow of that cloud," the shadow of the Almighty. And so what God is saying is this. God is saying, "I want my man in a secret place, not just inside the boundary line, not just inside, not just a few feet from the enemy, but I want my man in the center of all the tribes. So if there's a little slip, or suppose he gets a bit away from the center, he still won't be outside. Or if he gets two waves away from the center, he still won't be outside." What God was saying is, "I want there to be a great distance between my man and the enemy, so the enemy would have an awful hard time getting my man." What he was saying is this. He's saying, "Moses, I don't you to want you to walk near the edge." Now why? Because the edge of the camp was occupied by the outlaw. God said that as Israel traveled, he said some folks could not come inside the camp. For example, the homosexual couldn't come inside the camp. No homosexual was allowed inside the camp. Why? Because it was sin. That's why. The dirty gay crowd to the contrary. The dirty homosexual crowd to the contrary. Homosexuality is not a disease, and it's not a simple another way of life. It is dirty black sin. Like murder is sin, like fornication is sin, like stealing is sin, like robbery is sin, like lying is sin, like drinking is sin. Homosexuality is sin. You say, "Oh, you don't love the homosexuals." I do love them enough to tell them how to be saved and how God can save them and deliver them from the bondage of the wicked sin in which they live. But I don't want them teaching my kids in school. By the way, if you are gay, don't you even bother to fill out an application, Howells Anderson College. Because when we find out you're gay, you will no longer be a part of our blessed fellowship here. Nor will you ever. I said, nor will you ever again. Ever. By the way, outside the camp were all of the castrated men. Were outside the camp. All of the prostitutes were outside the camp. There were certain people, all the lepers were outside the camp. And God is saying to Moses, don't walk near the edge of that camp. Because if you were to stumble over the edge one time, you'd be with the prostitutes, and you'd be with the lepers, and you'd be with the homosexual crowd, and you'd be with all the wicked people outside. Don't walk near the edge. Now that's why Brother Hiles is against holding hands. I want you to stay away from the edge. That's why Brother Hiles is for getting your hair cut and getting your sideburns cut decent length and having your hair tapered. Way from that which is wrong. I don't want you to get your hair cut just a little bit near, just barely inside, right? Because the barber shop may be closed the next time you go on a holiday, and you may slide over into wrong. But if you can keep your hair several steps away from wrong, then if you do have a problem, then you have not gone into that which is wrong. I don't want you to hold hands, because I want you to stay, young folks, to stay several steps away from immorality. I don't want you to just walk inside, barely. Well, we never have gone all the way, young people say. Okay, then don't get even close to going all the way. Keep several steps away. And let me say something else too, folks, and this is very important. I hate to say this. I do not want to even think about this. But the First Baptist Church of Hammond will someday deteriorate. And the man who stands in this pulpit next probably will not be as strong on sin and separation as I am. Now follow me. If I lead you just to do right and not wrong. Now hear me carefully. If I lead you to do right and not wrong, and keep you just barely inside of right, then if the next man who comes, if he's a little bit left of me, then the church has crossed the line into wrong. But if I can keep you way over here, and here's wrong, the line between right and wrong, I can keep you way over here, the next man that comes, if you slide some, you're still right. And the next generation, you slide some, you're still right. And the next generation, you slide some, and you're still right. And the farther we can get over here, away from the boundary line or the division between right and wrong, the more we secure the future of our church. And young people, the fact that Brother Hiles is so strict, and the fact that my standards are so straight, is an effort on my part to guarantee that when you grow up, and you sit in the choir, and you're the deacons, and you're the ushers, and you're the pastors, and you're on the platform as leaders, that even though the church may have slid a little bit, it still will be inside that which is right, and the First Baptist Church of Hammond will have the conviction between right and wrong a lot longer than if I just slide right here. A lot of fundamental preachers are mighty fine fellows, but they're just bad. Well, there's anything wrong with? Okay, don't worry about what's right and wrong. Worry about what's more right. You see, leave yourself. Don't get over here at the edge and say, I'm still on the platform. I'm still on the platform. Let me ask you a question. Whenever I'm preaching, and I do this, does it bother you? It bothers me when you do that with your morals, too. See? I'm on the platform. But you're holding your breath, afraid the old man won't get back alive, aren't you? That's exactly why I preach like I do. I don't want you this close to wrong. I don't want you with your hairstyles to stay just inside of right. I don't want you to stay just barely that far from wrong with your vocabulary and your music and your dress and your standards and your morals. I want you to say, for the grace of God, I'm going to stay so far on the right side that if I stumble a bit, I won't stumble across the line between right and wrong. Pray for me as I try to get back where I came from. Now then, those two reasons are the reasons Brother Hiles is so narrow. And those two reasons are the reason Brother Hiles, as long as he preaches behind this pulpit and has good sense, or as much sense as he has now, will not change his conviction. Not at all. Don't you hang around in hopes that someday it'll ease up. It won't get no better. No, sir. You say, Brother Hiles, I think that maybe that my child, if he found a good public school, that'd be okay. Yeah, but buddy, I want you to stay so far away from being okay. I don't want you to get close to the line. You may fall off. And so that's why we go farther than others. And that's why our fundamental position goes more right than most fundamentalists go. And by the way, there's a certain kind of confidence that builds across America about First Baptist Church and Hiles Anderson College, because there are people across this country, when they think the word term Hiles Anderson College or First Baptist Church or Jack Hiles, the first thing they think, boy, there's one place that won't change. So don't get your hopes up. It won't get any better. I'm having an awful hard time mellowing. I've often heard, when you get 40, you mellow. I got 40, and I didn't mellow. Because mellow rhymes with yellow, and I don't like to think about getting yellow. And the mellow also means ripe, nearly rotten. I don't want to rot. I've been preaching 33, almost 34 years, and the convictions I've borne all these years. I plan to preach, if God gives me a sane mind, until I meet Jesus, and all of it is over as far as I'm concerned. Why? Because I do not want you playing on the precipice of tragedy. Nor do I want our church to stay just inside the line of that which is right. I'd like to think that when I'm gone and look down from heaven, I'd like to think that we've stayed so right in our church. We've stayed so far from the dividing line between right and wrong. I'd like to think that this church, even though it may deteriorate some, and the convictions may come more toward the center, I'd like to think we've taken it so far to the right that it'll still be wrong, right and against wrong in the succeeding generations. One reason why I preach the heart around the country. One reason why. You say, well, why are you against social drinking? Huh? Because I've always been against, and I couldn't find a way to get off the train. Well, House, why is it that you're against young people holding hands? And what's wrong with an innocent kiss? Yeah, same thing's wrong with a dry raindrop. Oh, you say, well, Brother Hiles, it's just a little. The Bible says greet one another with a holy kiss. If you ever find one, let me know about it. Tonight, Brother Eau Claire came in the office before the service, walked over and kissed me on the cheek. Yeah, it bothers me too. But I want you to know I didn't enjoy it. No, sir, no, sir. He said, little girl out there said, give this to Brother Hiles, and she gave it to him, and he gave it to me. Now, look, you little girls, I don't want this secondhand stuff. You give it straight to the boss man, don't you? You said, Brother Hiles, why are you against women wearing pants? Well, I've always been against women wearing pants. The difference between me and you, I didn't change when it got popular. Eh? I'm just preaching what all the preachers preached 25 years ago, they're fundamentalists. You don't believe it? Take some pictures of the camps our fundamentalists used to have 15, 20 years ago and see how the kids are dressed. And then go to one of our fundamental camps now and see how they're dressed. What if you want to see how they're dressed 25 years ago? You go to Hiles Knuckles Camp. You'll see how they were dressed 25 years ago. You want to see how young people wore their hair 25? Oh, you say, you go all the way back to the 50s. No, we don't. We all go back to zero. Now I'm saying this. I'm saying, if you want your grandchildren to live in a church that's on the right side of the line between right and wrong, you better thank God you've got an old-fashioned, narrow-minded preacher right now. You better thank God. And you better thank God that I walk guard over Hiles Anderson College like a sentry on duty at night. And you better thank God that I walk guard over Hammond Baptist High School and City Baptist High School and Hammond Baptist Junior High and Hammond Baptist Grade School and the youth activities of our church. And you better thank God that you've got somebody that even goes beyond what you believe and beyond that which is right and right and way right. So out yonder in the future, when this church has a little bit of a natural deterioration, you better thank God it'll still be on the right side of that line between right and wrong. Jesus taught that. Matthew chapter 5, he said, the Bible says, thou shalt not commit adultery. But he said, let me tell you what. If you don't want to arrive at the city called adultery, then don't get on the road called lust. He that looketh after one that lust after hath committed adultery already. Now get this. With her. Hold it now. Didn't say he hath committed adultery. It said with her. Which means that you gals that run around here showing your thighs in public and lay on these beaches and let men come by and look at your thighs and look at your midsection and look at your uncovered flesh and they look at you and lust after you. You also are committing adultery. It says with her. Now you listen to me. You listen to me. You gals that wear the 40 sweater and buy a 36, you better go answer to God for it. Answer to God for it. You gals that haven't learned how to sit yet. I mean, Jesus said, if you do not want to commit adultery, he said, don't get on the road. He said, you stay way over here. If this is the line between right and wrong, he said, you stay way, way over here. He said, the Old Testament says, the Bible said, thou shalt not kill. But our Lord said, I say you shouldn't even hate anybody. Now why? Here is killing and not killing. But our Lord said, I want you to just stay right here. I don't want you getting close to the edge. He said, I want you to get way back over here and not hate anybody. Stay way away from the edge. Folks, let me tell you something. This kind of, and please, I have no vendetta. I have no desire to hurt anybody. But I want to tell you this. This kind of Christianity in America today, you turn on a religious talk show and the 700 Club comes on or the PTL Club comes on. And if they didn't tell you what they were, if your audio part of your television set wasn't working, you wouldn't know if it's the Carson Show or the PTL Club. You wouldn't know. Now I'm saying, listen to me, this kind of Christianity that wears the long hair like the hippie world wears and wears the fashions like the hippie world wears and use the same old beat like the hippie world wears, let me tell you something, in the next generation, it'll decay. Why? It's walking right at the edge, that's why. Now look, say what you want to say. We've got a brand of Christianity in America today. It may be Christianity, it may be not. We've got a brand of it that walks right inside the line. Just barely inside the line of right and wrong. But bless your little heart. Now I want these little girls down here on the front row, when they grow up and become adults, I want them to have a church that still stands against wrong and for right here at the First Baptist Church of Hammond. Because of that, I aim to stay a long ways from right and wrong when it comes to my preaching. I aim to stay way over here. Kind of Christianity that says, I'm born again. Has a jazz band in the White House on a Sunday night. That's not Bible Christianity. This kind of Christianity that says, my name's Pat Boone. Come to hear me at the nightclub in Las Vegas where they drink and come immodestly dressed and live like heathen on Saturday night and then come and I'll preach to you on Sunday morning. That is not Bible Christianity. If you're going to be a born again Christian, get out of Hollywood. Touch not the unclean thing and be a separate, saith the Lord. I'm saying, what I'm saying is this. I'm saying, okay. Maybe Pat Boone's a Christian. Maybe he's born again. I don't know. Maybe Johnny Cash is saved. I don't know. But I know one thing. I know they're walking too close to the line for the next generation to be worth anything. Our laws are that way. The laws of our country are that way. We don't want you to have wrecks. So what? So do not tailgate. Don't get too close to the car in front of you. Now, why is that law on the books? The law is nothing wrong with being so close to a car. It's wrong to get yourself in a predicament where you could easily have an accident. That's what it is. Don't park within 15 feet of an intersection. Anything wrong with that? Nothing necessarily wrong. What we're trying to prevent? We're trying to prevent a car coming around there and hitting that car that's parked too close to the intersection. And we're trying to avoid tragedy. That's why you shouldn't neck and pet. You're too close to the edge when you neck and pet. And that's why we don't hold hands at our schools. At least we don't allow it if we know about it. Now, if you do it, you may sneak around and like some dirty crook in the shadows at night, lurking in the shadows trying to do some evil, you may go ahead and break the rules. But I'll guarantee you one thing. If you do, you're a crook. And if you hide from the teacher and you hide from the preacher and you hide from the principal and you hide from the president, you will not hide from God. We're just trying to see to... Listen. This last week, I've talked to that many young ladies in my office who have slept with young men. And I'm talking about 18 years of age and under. I've talked to that many, four, this week. They did not plan that kind of an escapade. They did not decide to go out and go to bed with a young boy. They didn't do it. They got too close to the edge. They hadn't held hands, they'd never have done it. They hadn't kissed, they'd never have done it. Hadn't gone alone in a car, they'd never have done it. Brother, if you don't want your kid to fall off the cliff, then don't you let your kid get too close to the edge. If sin is wrong, the road that leads to sin is wrong. Why don't we just take 100 people and commit the same sin? And find out the circumstances that led to the committing of that sin. And if 50% of those people followed the same circumstances, then don't you think we better preach against the circumstances? Huh? I mean, if we find that the same set of circumstances was present in 50 of these 100 people that committed a given sin, then don't you think it'd be a lot better? I'm sorry. I don't like to use his name, and I didn't for years. But I have to now. I have to. If you don't like it, you just lump it any way you want to lump it, because my preaching is none of your business. None. That goes for deacons. That goes for Sunday school teachers. That goes for everybody in the church. It's none of your business what I preach behind this pulpit. But I for years, I never said one unkind word about Evangelist Billy Graham. But when he said that social drinking was okay, I'm sorry, I had to say something. Listen, alcoholics are made out of social drinkers. It's wrong to get drunk and beat your wife. It's wrong to get drunk and come home and starve the kids. It's wrong to spend your paycheck because you spend it on liquor. If it's wrong to get in a car drunk and have a wreck and kill somebody, it's wrong to go in a bar. It's wrong to have a cocktail. It's wrong to drink a beer. It's wrong to drink socially. Let me tell you something. Like it or not, you just say what you want to say, and I don't care. I'm saying this, ladies and gentlemen, it's time we got back the same old standards our forefathers had when we believed that not only sin was wrong, but the road that leads to sin was wrong. We got the strangest idea nowadays that you can go ahead and get right next to the edge and just tightrope right next to the edge. You can't do that. You can't do it. If we stumble into sin. Unless we have ample distance between us and the edge. Let's take the matter of hair. Some of you fellows tonight are not sinning. And the Bible says that it's a shame for a man to have long hair. I think there's some of you fellas that have not gotten yet to what is called long hair. But you're so close to it, you miss 1 week on a haircut, and you'll go over into the line of long hair. Let's suppose that here, right here, is long hair. And right here, on this side, is long hair. This is the bad. Okay? All right, let's go. Then right here is shaggy. And right here is over your ear. And right here is mod. And right here is long. And right here is hippie. Now, if you do not want to get to here, don't you start here. You see, I'm not saying tonight that some of the colleges whose hairstyles are longer than ours are sinning. I am saying this. I am saying that as their standards allow the lengthening of their hair, and as our standards in the future generations of the house is dead and gone allow the standards to loosen of our hair, I'm saying we've got a couple of generations before we get where they are now. And they'll be across the line into hippie hairstyles, like some of these used-to-be Christian colleges around this area have. You say you're criticizing my college. I dare you to take the pictures of your students 15, 20 years ago. Now, I'm saying that it is safe to stay a long ways from wrong. And don't get close. Take the matter of romance. If you don't want to commit adultery, young people, if you want to stay pure and clean, if you want to say like that young couple said to me, who got married this week, we're pure, we're clean. If you want to stay that way, then you better not kiss. Then if you're not going to kiss, you better not embrace. If you're not going to embrace, you better not put your arm around her. Not going to put your arm around her, you better not hold hands. Now you got holding hands, putting your arm around her, embracing, kissing, and immorality. 5 steps. Don't you think it's a lot better to stay 5 steps away from wrong than 1 step? Well, you say, Brother Hiles, we just don't agree. Let me ask you a question. Can you prove it's wrong not to hold hands? Can you find me a scripture that says it's wrong not to kiss? The Bible ever said, thou shalt not kiss? Bible says, thou shalt not hold hands? Now look, fella, I'm almost 53 years old. I don't even remember when I was young. I'm not even sure they had youth back in those days. But I remember the first time I held a hand. Yeah. Bunch of scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. Woe unto you. And I don't know what you did, but I tingled. Yeah. Three of us did. Yeah. Yeah. And there was a young man that ever held hands that said, let's just do this the rest of our life. Hold hands, all we'll ever do. Nope. Mm-mm. Oh, that hand had a wrist on it. You want to see how that felt? And that wrist had a forearm on it. You want to see how that felt? And that had a bicep on it. Want to see how that felt? Huh? I'm not going to keep on going, but I'll tell you what. If you don't want to get to the shoulder, don't start with the hand, buddy. Look, you know I'm telling the truth. You know it, you know it, you know I'm telling the truth. Oh, don't sit there with your pious look and say, well, this is 1979. I looked at a calendar. I know what year it is. I hate for some of these little pious people to come up and say, this is 1979. And I want to say, well, I'm glad you finally found out. It's August. I've known for 7 months. I knew it at 12:01, New Year's Day. January 1. But God does not change. And the same passions men had in the Garden of Eden, men have today. And the same passions men had when Billy Sunday was alive, men have today. And that which was wrong for Moody's day and Sunday's day and Torrey's day and Sam Jones' day and Bob Jones' day is wrong in your day. Sit there, you little rationalizing all you want to, but you know I'm telling the truth. You know I'm telling the truth. And so, did you know that the adultery that goes on in these cars wouldn't take place if you folks would hear me what I preach? Car alone, sitting close, necking in lover's lane. You think I'm rough? John Rice preached a revival meeting in Waxahachie, Texas years ago. Found out some of the deacon's kids were out in lover's lane. He went out in lover's lane after the service that night and got the license numbers of all the cars in lover's lane and read them off behind the pulpit the next night. And that wasn't 1979, that's 1939. And some of you people sitting here, you say, I won't come back here. I know you won't, because you want to wallow in your sin, and you don't want to come and hear a man of God tell you what all men of God used to preach. You want to go to some little church where some little fellow's afraid of you, and where the board runs him, and the committee is telling him what to do, and when to get up, and when to sit down, and when to go to bed, and when to rise up, and when to preach, and what to preach. How long to preach? That's what you want, because you want to run your preaching. What you need is you need an old-fashioned man of God that thunders out what's right and what's wrong, like your granddaddy and grandma used to have. I won't come back here anymore. Well, that's why I figured I better let you have it while you are here. One of our ladies came to me and said, Pastor, I'm embarrassed. That's the place, the way you preach anymore. I can't even bring my friends to hear you preach. Don't blame me for the crowd you're running with. So what are you trying to do? Well, there's college crowds coming back. We're going to need the space. I'm trying to prune out a little bit. But there's not a person in this room, I don't care how old or how young you are, there's not a person who down inside your heart, you know I'm preaching the truth and you know it in your heart. Don't get close to the edge. That's why I don't like to hear young people say slang. Here come three girls by. Somebody say, hey, how you guys doing? The one with the beard. They're the guys. Now, granted that the females look more like the guys than the males do these days. But young people, adults also, why don't we just go ahead and use guys for the males and gals for the females? Why don't we let cool mean not hot and neat mean not wrinkled and blast be a loud noise? What difference does it make? Okay, go right ahead. Use your slang. Before you know it, you'll be using shady words. Before you know it, you'll be using vulgar words. And before you know it, you'll use God's name in vain. So you're a lot better off not to say golly, or gee whiz, or oh my gosh, or Lordy mercy. Why don't you say holy cow? Or how about jumping Jehoshaphat? Or good gravy? Or why don't you just say, if you don't want to gossip, then it might be a good idea for you to stay an extra bit away from the edge. Why don't you just not talk about people a great deal at all? I mean, good or bad. Did you hear about so-and-so? She had a baby. Oh, I didn't even know she was expecting. Well, stupid, you got to expect before you can get. Oh, is that right? Oh, her husband's a good fella. I like him. Oh, that little kid she's got's a holy terror. That oldest child is a holy terror. Oh, boy. Don't you think we'd better off to talk about the Bible? Or talk about the conditions of the world? Or even the weather? Is something new? Or even the Middle East crisis? Or a worse crisis than that, the Cubs and the Bears. Somebody has said, great minds talk about ideas. Good minds talk about things, and weak minds talk about people. And if you get the place where you just sit and talk about people, talk about people. Talk. Did you know that he retired? Did you know that she's retires in a couple of years? Did you hear about her pneumonia? Did you hear about his influenza? Did you hear about the whooping cough her kid has? Now, before you know it, you're going to cross that line. Take this matter of unsaved folks marrying, saved folks marrying unsaved folks. There's not a Christian parent in this room that wants your child to marry an unconverted person. Not a one. Not a one. Okay, then if you don't want them to marry an unconverted person, then don't let them be around where unconverted people are in social life. I said before, I said again as well. Already made you mad, but I'll give you some more arrows for your quiver. The world's gotten too bad for Christian boys to belong to the Boy Scouts. World's gotten too bad for Christian girls to join the Brownies. World's gotten too bad for Christian young people to play in the Little Leagues. In the first place, there's enough activities going on around here to keep all your children as busy as you want to keep them. And to make a taxi driver out of you. In the second place, if it's wrong to marry an unsaved person, it's wrong to date one. And if it's wrong to date one, it's wrong to socialize with the unsaved crowd. I'm saying, don't get close to the edge. Take on the matter of dope and drinking. If you don't want to become a drunkard, don't you drink. If you want to drink, don't get around to drink. If you don't want to get around the drink, don't run with the crowd that's around the drink. Not a single young person in this room ought to have any close association with anybody who drinks any kind of alcoholic beverage. Not a single a young person in this room ought to have any close association whatsoever with anybody that's on dope. Not a one. Because you get around them, you're flirting too close to the edge. Oh, you say, Brother Hyle, I happen to trust my young person, my child, That's one of your problems. Jehoshaphat ran with the wrong crowd and destroyed a kingdom. Ahab ran with the wrong crowd and destroyed the northern kingdom. Lot did not go to Sodom to get drunk or become a homosexual or to commit incest. Lot didn't say one day, I know what I'll do. I'll go down to Sodom and commit incest with my daughters. Lot didn't say that. He didn't say it. Lot said, I want to go to Sodom. A lot of money down there. It's a nice place to live. I want the well-watered plains towards Sodom. And Lot went. And Lot got under the influence of the wrong crowd. His wife turned a pillar of salt. His daughters went bad. He committed incest with both his daughters, and they gave birth to little illegitimate children, and they fathered heathen nations. Why? Because Lot could not go in the wrong crowd and be strong enough to stand it. If Lot couldn't do it, and if Abraham couldn't do it in Egypt, and if Isaac couldn't do it in Egypt, and if Elimelech and Naomi couldn't do it in Moab, and if Peter couldn't do it while our Lord is being tried and crucified, you can't do it either. David couldn't do it, and Samson couldn't do it, and you're not a better Christian than David and Samson. Let's go a step further. You don't want to ever bet on the horses, or go to Las Vegas, play those one-armed bandits. It might be a good idea if you kept so far away from it you don't flip for cokes, or play for a quarter of a hole on the golf course, or play with a pinball machine. Some of you parents are going to rue the day you let your kids play these pinball machines. All the quiet. You're going to rue the day. Well, you say, I'll tell you what, I am a he-man and I will do what I want to do. Well, isn't that fine? I'm glad you had to tell us. We couldn't tell it. Let's put a sign across. I am a he-man. We'll know it really then. Or you could be he-man enough to say to your kids, you're not going to mess around with it, and then you could really show us you're a he-man without saying anything or putting a sign on. Sixteen Hiles Anderson registrants just decided not to go this year. This sermon did it. I throw a fit like this about the time school starts every year. Just in case we have a new teacher that doesn't agree with everything I've said tonight, then we have highways that lead from Hammond. We'd love for you to find one. We may even help you. That's how courteous we are. Might be a good idea for you then not to go to an amusement park and play bingo. Won't you just stay over there at the loop-de-loop? Or the roller coaster, we used to call it the lightning. That's how old I am. I'm going to go down and ride the lightning. But if you don't want to end up betting on the horses, or gambling your salary away and letting your family go uncared for, won't you just stay away from the throwing the balls for a doll? Huh? Or pulling the strings. See what's on the end of the string. What's wrong with that? Too close to the edge. Huh? I'm ruining a lot of people's fun, aren't I? In fact, all of a sudden, you didn't have as much fun on your vacation as you thought you did you? And you might better stay away from the lottery. And the office pool on the games this year. Especially if you bet on the Bears. What I'm saying is this. I'm saying that I'd love to think that out yonder, 35 years from now, Brother Hiles is 88 years of age, occupying a prominent place in the mausoleum. If I'm out there bearding that mausoleum, don't you come in there and think that whole thing will shake. What's good to be free? But I'd like to think 35 years from now, I'd like to think that with the grace of God, He's helped those of us who've been here keep the old standards straight. So Somebody says, yeah, Hiles Center is like a prison. Boy, I want to throw my shoulders back, Dr. Evans, and say, bless God. Bless God. You can't even hold hands up there. Never will forget it. I won't call her name because she's a married lady now. She went to, one of our young ladies went to Bob Jones University years ago, before there was a Hiles Anderson College, went to Bob Jones University. She came back home and she said to me, she said, oh my. She said, that place is too strict. She said, they won't even let you hold hands with boy. And I said, does any boy want to hold your hand? Well, no. I said, then it's no problem for you, is it? But a lot of these schools that like to criticize us, they say, we believe in short hair, and Hiles believes in shaving your head. I don't believe it. I've practiced it, but I don't believe it. I'll tell you what. Go ahead. You wait till the natural process of deterioration takes in. And let's look at your student body and ours in 15 years. And the worst we'll be is where you are. Huh? So we'll die 15 years after you do. Yeah. The truth is, we don't believe in shaving your head. And you better be careful about anybody that talks about it that way. Better be careful. So we'll just go along like we've been going along these 20 years. I'll just make you mad about every other week. Try to push that little red reset button there on the side of your machine. Get the focus back like it ought to be. Let the folks say what they want to say and call us what they want to call us. But you've got to know it's true, buddy. If you don't hold hands and if you don't kiss, it's going to be awful hard to have an illegitimate child. And if you always get your hair cut tapered and get it cut every couple of weeks, you're going to go broke. That's what you're going to do. But I'll tell you what, you'll never be a hippie. Never will. And if you don't make any close friends with the unsaved crowd, you'll never marry an unsaved person. See? So it may be a little narrow. You young folks may wonder. I always worry about these kids. Graduate from high school, and as soon as they can, they grow a beard. Hair over the ear. Bothers me. Saw one of our Hiles Anderson students today walking down the alley. He didn't know I saw him. Ex-Hiles Anderson student. I guess he dropped out because he couldn't pay his bill, or maybe he flunked some course. I don't know. But I think he's going to be Santa Claus at somebody's Christmas party this next year. He's got a good start. Yeah. You sort of bother me there, pussyfooter. Sort of bothers me some. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because what you'd like to do is walk just inside the line. What I want us to do, I want us to dwell in the secret place of the Most High so we can abide under that shadow. So if we do stumble, we don't get outside the camp. And so if the enemy does come past one echelon, he won't get to us. And so out yonder, when the next pastor pastors this church, 60 years from now, beautiful dreamer. No, just a dreamer. But next pastor pastors this church, and maybe he won't be quite as narrow-minded as Brother Hiles. I'd like to have seen to it that I helped to keep it so far away from the line of right and wrong that we're still a good distance from the edge. That's really what it's all about. I think if you'll think about it, I really think you'll agree with me. Amen. I think you'll think the sin I'm committing is the sin of being too right. I'll say what I said this morning. So often this happens. Dear Brother Hiles, you're the greatest preacher in the whole world. It's amazing the discernment some of our folks have. I say, Brother Hiles, I caused you some trouble. I got three notes like this today. I caused you some trouble when I grew up. Brother Hiles, I thought you were too strict. But now, we have our own baby. Brother Hiles, don't change till our baby's grown. Shines a new light on the whole thing, doesn't it? Because every one of you, when your own children come, you're going to want there to be a First Baptist Church of Hammond that still stays a good distance on this side, away from the edge. And if we stay a good distance on this side, in the next generation, we got to stay a farther distance on this side, in this generation. And as the decay comes, it'll last longer. And that little girl that I held in my arms today for the first time, named Melissa Joy Murfree, who from here up, her eyebrows up, looks so much like her grandfather. When she hands her baby to Johnny Murfree and says, "Dad, hold my baby. I want to take your picture. I want the old church to be a long ways from the edge." And that's, young people, why I'm so narrow-minded. And that's why Brother Hiles preaches against some things that aren't sinful in themselves. It's precaution. It's safety. Look, I'm 53 years old. If I live to be 70, I got 17 years and 1 month left. I'll be 53 next month. If I live to be 80, I've got 27 years and 1 month left. They're not going to affect me. I believe this church is already going to stay. I think the church is already set for the, if the next 15 years or so, if God lets me live, I believe the church is going to stay this side of the edge or the precipice. So it's you I'm thinking about. It's your kids.